This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NOCO with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So Caitlin Clark has her introductory press conference yesterday.
Caitlin.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, the one that's bringing the spotlight on all of women's athletics right now.
That's the one, yeah.
And she was being introduced as an Indiana Fever player. Those are always fun, right? To introduce her to the fan base and the, you know, the media and everything like that. Well, it kind of got derailed. And Angel, we have that clip of that by this reporter. Well, I don't even know how to describe it. Let's take a listen into this question that was asked to Caitlin Clark yesterday.
Yeah, and I thought she would have had more to say on it. I really did. You know, she's a woman of few words. You know, she lets her playing out on the court do the talking for her. And I think that's impressive.
I hate technology sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. But that's why you've got to be prepared at all times to just keep rolling.
Brady, whole host of the whole show's in here with us.
Hi, Brady.
You want me to just... Greg Doyle, the reporter, he does the heart sign.
From the Indiana Star, right?
Yeah, and that's what Caitlin Clark does
to her family
after a big game or whatever. He did it to her, and she's kind of like... Oh, you like that symbol. And then he says, yeah, I do. Or no, he goes, I like that you're here. And it's kind of awkward how he says it. Like, I like that you're here.
And then she says, creepy.
Yeah, I do that at my family after every game. And then Doyle says, start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine.
And the awkward laugh that broke out
like,
from the people in the crowd. We've been to press conferences before. We've heard bad questions asked.
Oh, yeah.
Very bad questions asked,
but that's up there.
That's
worse than the reporter that showed up for that tennis match and showed up late and
didn't know that he
said
won.
Congratulations to the tennis player, and the tennis player's like, congratulations, I lost, and he's like, oh, what was going on out there?
How did that happen?
Although that one's kind of like,
that's funny.
His follow up was great because it's like, well, what happened then?
I do like that, but this
one is
in today's world, an older man making any kind of comment like that to a young woman in that setting,
if it was Tanner or Angel there and they're like doing that to her, and like, that's weird, you know, and then she's like, you like that, huh, Angel? And Angel's like, yeah, I'd like it if you do that to me a few times after games, we'll be just fine. It's like, what, you hitting on me?
How are you supposed to take that? And he may have had very innocent intentions and may not realize how creepy it came up.
He spoke. Greg Doyle said, today in my uniquely oafish way, while welcoming Caitlin Clark to Indy, I formed my hands into her signature heart. My comment afterwards was clumsy and awkward. I sincerely apologize. Please know my heart, literally and figuratively, was well intentioned. I will do better. He wrote a column on it, and then a couple hours later said, Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. Today I was part of the problem. Now that's where I wanted to ask you guys, was this just a stupid move by a reporter, or is this media not knowing how to cover successful women in sports?
I mean, he covers this team, right? So he's
a sports columnist for the Indy Star.
I don't know a lot about him. There is the forgiving part of my brain that's like, okay, it was awkward. And he did the heart thing, and then she goes, you like that? And he's kind of like, doesn't know what to do. I actually think he was being sleazeball and saying, hey, send me the heart and hook up?
No,
I don't think so at all. I can't really think that anybody in that profession in 2024 that covers women's sports for a living was actually hitting on her. I do think it was just clumsy. Should he be fired for that? I don't think so. Should he be, like, suspended? No.
I think it was just an awkward exchange where a guy just messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, which, we've all screwed up and not intending to be said or done something that through others' eyes looked completely different from what your intent was.
I think, I mean, part of me was like, is he meaning, hey, do that to me, like we're going to have a good reporter-player relationship,
yes,
and I'm going to be able to get the scoop and all that stuff. That's where I tend to go. Again, you're going to get, it was awful, you know, and the optics of it are awful. But I don't think, like, I saw one Denver reporter that's like, it took one freaking day. And it's like, you're just assuming that he's hitting on her, which I joked about as we started the segment. It sounds like that. And maybe, and if that was the case, then this guy should be gone.
Right.
If you did a lie detector test and it turned out he was like, yeah, you know, heart emojis, let's go out, then yeah, he should be removed. But I just... Call me naive. I can't think that he actually did it that way.
I think he's just trying to say, and I hope you grow to love me as a reporter.
I think so.
And that we have that. Hey.
Yeah. Because how often do I joke about, like, hey, Nico Medved, are we best friends and stuff like that? And I don't think Nico thinks that I'm hitting on him, you know. I don't think, anyway. But if I were to do that, if I were to do that to Lindsay Oates, the volleyball coach, and say, hey, are we best friends, you know?
There is a difference when you're talking to women compared to talking to men. I mean, there just is. I don't care how much you go through it. But, I mean, this is, to me,
if it would have been,
you can't be a columnist for this long. And I was just pulling up some of his history. He's been there a while. He covers the highest of high sports for the Indy Star. He's a professional journalist. Was he out of his comfort zone seeing this, you know, larger than life? Caitlin Clark's larger than life right now. Yes. Does he maybe not know how to address and speak in that way? Probably. This happens. This happens where you say something, you know it came off bad. I've had it happen on this program where we had to come back and I had to clarify what I had said before. I had it happen when I was at UNC doing a newscast where I said something that I'm like, afterwards, everybody got together and I'm like, oh, what I said came out horribly, horribly wrong. And the thing that makes me question it was the tone in his voice.
It was creepy.
Clumsy and awkward, yes, but I think you need to put creepy on there as well. I think there is a change coming. If Caitlin Clark does it in the WNBA, what she did for the women's college basketball, there is a difference in interviewing and covering women than there is on men. And I think that is something that forever has been, but you got to change how you approach it,
if let's just take who's the most popular football player in the Patrick Mahomes. Let's say Patrick Mahomes does that after every game, and he does the heart thing to his kid. To his wife and kid after the games.
Yeah.
If a male reporter had said, hey, and let's just say Patrick got traded to the Broncos, and it's a Broncos reporter, and the Broncos reporter's like, does that to him.
Introductory press conference, yeah.
And the exact same scenario plays out. We would still go, that was weird. Now, we're not probably going to assume that that reporter was being sleazy toward Mahomes, but we are still going to go, the hell was that, man? So there is that. There is that difference. Male or female, it's a clunky, awkward, goofy, not really disrespectful, but just a bad question. But then if you put a woman in that chair, it does come off as creepy.
Right.
There's going to be a learning process with anything that evolves, and professional sports are evolving. And having superstar women athletes to interview and ask questions of is something that a lot of people have not had experience.
We've never experienced it.
We haven't seen these.
No.
These are new times where things are rolling, they are progressing, and with that will come some awkward moments and some learning opportunities in those kind of situations. So I think what we have here is just one step towards that process of learning and trying to learn how to roll with the new world. This is a step that is not going to go back. This is just going to go forward, and everybody's going to have to change their game a bit.
Right, but you're 100% right. I'm sorry, I'm just eager because you're right on spot with where I was going with this as well. But the responses cannot be, this guy needs to go to Narnia through the Bridge of Terabithia.
I would love to go to Narnia.
It can't be that. You can't exile people because it is a learning curve. And that's what we preach all the time. There is a learning curve.
You should still know how to talk to women without being creepy, though.
No.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
So, like.
But we have seen A lot of people don't.
Yeah, true.
I mean, there really are.
We've never seen a woman this popular
in sports.
But
you're still interviewing professional women.
But we've never seen somebody at this caliber of women. I agree. There's some truth to that as well.
Can you imagine she's standing in front of you and you're just, what was it, Cusack in that movie where he's holding up the...
Yeah, the say anything.
The say anything. He's holding up the boombox. Yeah. Can you imagine Tanner just, hey, and he's holding up the heart and she's like, you like that? You wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't do that. And I both have awkward.
To Joker, though.
I would absolutely do it to Joker.
Think, okay, just real quick.
Actually, I just hold my hands out. How about a hug?
Think real quick. This is not, I mean, this is probably going to get me in hot water, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Oh, boy.
Sports writers are a unique breed. I mean, they are. They are there to cover the game. We know a ton of them, and they are so uniquely themselves, and it's wonderful. But a lot of them miss some of the social skills.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, because if you're, what career do you want to go and sit in a dark room and type and write things out? I could never do that because I am more of a people person. Writers a lot of times aren't that. They're not out there putting their opinion on. They are just doing exact facts throughout. So I think that comes into play a little bit as well. But we're also in a world now where this is the most famous woman in sports that we have ever seen. I know the Williams sisters were up there.
Throw out the sports. It's the most prolific right now.
What we've been talking about a lot on the whole show is and some people might view this as sexist, but Caitlin Clark is now in the sports conversation. She's not in the women's sports conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Williams sisters were in the sports conversation. There's not that many. Ronda Rousey, I think, was in the sports conversation.
Yeah.
You know, we talked.
Those are all good.
There's only a I'm just saying it honestly.
That's about
there's
it.
Only a handful. There's Olympians and gymnastics girls.
Lindsay
and
Vaughn, maybe you put up there. Simone Biles, maybe.
Sure, yeah, Simone Biles. But, of course, a lot of that was overshadowed by the terrible stuff that affected her. And then that becomes the story that surrounds her. But now we're talking about, like, we're actually having a debate whether Caitlin Clark is the go if she doesn't win a championship. That's just a LeBron, Joker, you know, who's the GOAT conversation. That's beautiful. And then you get the other side, you know, women's sports reporters and diehards and all that stuff, as you were talking about, say, what are you talking about? We've had great athletes all the time. Not like this. Not like this, you haven't. You haven't had somebody. My wife and I were arguing about this last night. She was like, well, wasn't Brittany Griner like a big deal? I was like, she was a big deal for the WNBA. Caitlin Clark is a big deal for sports. There is a big difference.
Yeah.
Look at the ratings. The draft night. When Caitlin Clark was drafted, 2.4 million viewers to the WNBA draft. The second most was in 2004. It was 600,000. And that was 2004. The second most was 20 years ago.
That's
so
amazing.
That right there tells you this is a brand new breed of woman athlete here. So it is changing. And unfortunately, this Greg Doyle, who's probably... able to ask whatever kind of questions, nobody cares. Well, now you ask the biggest superstar in sports right now, one of them.
Yeah.
You ask a clunky question, it's going to explode. So you got to bring your A game now.
Yeah.
You can't do awkward things. I mean,
right.
he could have done the heart and saved it somehow. Like, what does this mean to you? I want to know. You know, how did you guys just always do that when you were a kid? Did you put the heart thing up? And that would have been a great question. But instead, it's like, do that to me.
Well, and she led him right into it, too, with a, you like that? Kind of a Kirk, she sounded a lot like Kirk Cousins with the, you like that?
Well, you were playing it yesterday, and I wasn't watching the video, and I was like, what is Tanner watching? Like, you're doing this right in front of me, man. This is weird.
But, I mean, the follow-up, you're exactly right, with the, you like that? Yeah, I do. I think it's really cool that you do that to your family. How did that tradition start? I mean, there's so many ways.
It was like, I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
Right. Like, it's
well, and again,
awkward,
that's,
man.
It could be just a reporter going, man, we are so thrilled you're here. But just the way it came out was not pleasant.
Well, and you just mentioned it. The WNBA has been irrelevant. And so if you even, I didn't know there were WNBA reporters out there. And if you were getting that, that's probably a break-in job for a lot of people getting into the industry. So you're going to have that. It was a weird interaction yesterday.
I think Caitlin Clark has also made these conversations a little more comfortable because it's like I talked about. It's not when we say WNBA doesn't have a lot of views, that's just a fact, but you say it a year ago and people get mad. Now you say, and it's like, wait, we're willing to acknowledge that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, like, they blew up the scene last year. That had nothing to do with the fact that they were a female or a male. They were just really good and characters like we get, like we love in sports.
Yes.
And that's why I think it's made it more comfortable for us to talk about it, because it's like, wait, no, we're telling you that if you have an athlete or a product that is that good, we will go off on it. We will talk about it. I've spent hours the last 2 weeks talking about Caitlin Clark and the WNBA. And I even say this, like, Angel Reese is the one who got me into watching women's basketball last year.
Because of her reaction and the way she
did
the rivalry. Every hero needs an anti-hero.
Well, and I don't even say that. Like, I love Angel Reese's antics.
But
I think that's good stuff.
Well, I know, and that's been you forever, even with Russell Westbrook. Every quote-unquote good guy needs a bad guy.
Sure.
And Angel Reese was a quote-unquote bad guy.
And here's where my little brain's going here with the WNBA, with all the current stars coming out saying, she ain't going to do that stuff here. Is that a plan? Was that like, hey, the marketing team's like, hey, make it out to be like you're the mean. If I were a marketing person for the WNBA, that would be something I'd sit down and say, hey, give me my best stars in the WNBA. You guys should go at her a little bit. Just go at her, you know, see what happens. You're going to be the bad guy. Are you comfortable with that? Yeah, I am. It'll draw ratings. Okay, go at her then.
Turn heel, as they say in the WWE.
I have interest in watching her play, seeing how the team does and being a fan of that team.
But I am as well, you know, but every sport that is not garnering viewers needs a bad guy. They need drama. We saw it with golf. When the DeChambeau and Koepka stuff was going on, I think that's the first time Brady ever mentioned golf on his program. You need that side of, not a side act, but you need some of that to get people into your sport.
Oh,
now,
you love
how many of those can you retain?
Well, Conor McGregor for the UFC. Are you capturing a casual fan? You guys could name off 14 UFC fighters right now, and I wouldn't know if you were telling me a lie or not. But if you say Conor McGregor, I go, oh, yeah, that's that guy, is a loudmouth Irish dude that just runs around all the time. The casual fan knows him.
Yeah.
The casual fan knows Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
That's what you have to embrace the casual fan and own, you know, hey, welcome them aboard. Don't put them down for not watching you before. Just be happy they're there and then try to keep them.
Yeah. What was the saying that you said?
Don't ask where you've been. Just say welcome.
There you go.
Yeah. So when the Rockies
start.
They finally do start winning, you can't be the guy that's like, you can't get on my bandwagon.
No.
You should be like, welcome in, Brian. Have a seat.
No, the amount of times he's had to push that bus alone, he lets people on.
Is it like a Flintstone thing now? Like, is there even a bottom on the bus? Are you just Flintstoning that thing around?
Let's dive into that on the other side. You got thoughts. You got comments. We're right. We're wrong. Let us know. Text us on the J9 Agencies text line, 888-530-0043. More Good Morning NOCO when we get back. Dula McQuinn Young was built by trial lawyers who embody the will to win, and they pride themselves on getting the best possible results for their clients. Their firm is known for taking the fight to insurance companies, corporations, and dangerous drivers across Colorado. Online at trialproven.com or call for a free consult at 303-246-1111 for Doolin McQuinn Young, not the sleazeballs you see everywhere else. This is a company, you know, even coming out of a family with truck drivers, that owns a trucking company. These type of people in their industry are the ones that pick fights with a lot of the good people out there, not Doolin McQuinn Young. They will get you what you deserve online, trialproven.com. Well, the Rockies did fall last night, 7-6. I know, big shocker there. They're 4-14. And every time Brady's in here, and Brian as well, every time, but we talk about a lot of other things, but he always has to poke fun at my Rockies.
Well,
it's really easy.
I mean, why? But they,
it is. But every time you're in here,
wear it out on your
sleeve. It gives me at least another person to shout into the void with, because that's what I've been doing with all of my posts on X about the Rockies.
Your tweet last night, you got to be excited about the future.
You do.
I just want to be like, Tanner, man.
No.
Just no, man.
I stand by it. Hand up.
Just give it
up. I was way too optimistic about this year, but if you consistently watch the Rockies,
you
can't
really
help
have a problem.
But be excited about the future of the performances from the likes of Doyle and Tovar.
So excited.
To steal a line from the Braves a few years ago, let the kids play and go all in. Move on from Rodgers, get rid of Bryant if you can, go all youth, and let's see it.
What idiot wrote that?
Was that Craig Doyle?
Are you reading?
Don't even.
From
That's a low blow.
I'm sure you're right, but when you say you can't help but be excited, I'm like, yeah, I can help that.
I can. That is the one thing I have not felt during any of the games. I was excited when we were at the ballpark.
That was cool.
That was fun. But
you could have put pigeons out there flying around, and we would have been like, oh, this is great.
So out of the 18, I am just asking this, and I know I'm going to be the hockey guys right here, but out of the 18 games, mm-hmm. how many of those games have you watched five or more innings
24.
Of?
Have I watched?
Five or more innings of.
Probably at least five.
Five of them?
So I'd go under that, maybe four.
33% of them?
Yeah.
And that's what
it's
I'm saying.
It's April,
like,
bro.
I get it. I get it completely. I'm not.
I've checked in on all of them.
What am I trying to say?
If they had admonishing six, you for six this? Wins right now, seven even, I'd probably say I would have been interested or
that.
Jumped over to watch some of it.
So,
but
and that's
they've
what
been outscored in the first inning and second innings like every time, and it's over before it starts.
And I get all of this, but this is what I'm saying. For the people that every single game, I've watched all 18 at least five innings or more of. And there are the sparks that I was hoping to see. There is the improvement. You just locked Tovar down to that deal. He is an all-star. Like we talk, I hate it in baseball that every team gets an all-star. Tovar is a legitimate all-star this year. What Ryan McMahon's doing over there and what the progression of Brenton Doyle, where you put him in that two spot in the lineup and he's playing like that. You've got the kids. You've got the young stars. Now just roll with it. Is it going to be rough? 100%. If you followed baseball, you saw what happened to the Braves right before they went on this run. Now, the question mark, and I will not disagree with this at all, but can the front office handle it the way that it's supposed to do? Can they handle this and add just a couple of the pieces around these guys? Now, that's where the question mark remains. I'm excited about the players, and I'll be a fan of Tovar and Doyle if they go on to other places. But right now, you've got the recipes. Can you finish baking the cake? And that's where I'm at with the Rockies, and that's enough Rockies talk for today.
Yeah, I kind of zoned out halfway through there. No, and you're great at what you do on this. You're a diehard Rockies guy. I get it, and I love it, and I appreciate it. But I don't care right now.
Right?
I just don't. I got two teams that are going to compete for a cup and a championship. You know, I've got the NFL draft next Thursday. We've got a lot of cool things going on. I just can't pretend. I can't be excited.
No.
I can help.
No, I understand that, but this is where my frustration does come in. Of when, okay, it'll be June or July, and that stuff will
all
be over.
There's gonna be a lot of cool movies coming out,
and then you'll get the people who come in and they lose one game, the X, Y, or Z, and they haven't seen any of this stuff. Baseball is not like any other sport. It takes years to rebuild,
like 20
years
of them.
To rebuild. And they're in the first 2 years of that rebuild with this youth movement that they've done.
See, I have trouble with that term because a rebuild means at one point it was built.
Yeah.
And this has been under construction for 30 years.
Yeah.
So you can't call the Rockies a rebuild.
What was it, five playoff appearances?
And they're still trying to figure out how to finish the building.
Right.
They got the land. They got the beautiful stadium. But they've never never kept the instructions for the team. They've been trying
well,
to
it was. It's like they get the foundation set.
With a bucket of mismatched Legos. And they've put together what this great-looking young team that has promise, if we can find the rest of the pieces.
What year was that? Was that 2018 or 2017 when they went to the playoffs?
The wild card.
They won the wild card,
and then the next year they beat the Cubs.
Okay,
right?
so they had those back to back years. It was like, okay, the house is kind of up. Let's put the roof on, and then Jeff Bredich went in there and said, "Hey, I'm going to tear it all back down.
Yep, yep.
Everything there." And so then you went through the years where it's like, we don't have enough money to go get concrete. We don't have anything to build this house.
Well, we've got
the foundation.
Of bad
though.
Decisions,
yes,
though, too. Like,
and that's what I'm saying.
DJ LeMahieu, didn't they offer him the same that the Yankees did?
Yeah.
Just up that offer by a little bit. You're going to have to pay more guys to pay guys more to be here.
Right,
you are.
Right.
So the Yankees just match that, and there goes DJ LeMahieu.
Right. So in this analogy, it was somebody from the inside saying, hey, we're about there. I'm going to tear it back down. And it's been that, and you think it's the Bonfords. I'm not there yet. I think it's Monfort's decisions on who he's hired.
Well, you talk about the inside just screwed it up. Okay, well, what did Monfort do after Brightus was gone? Let's hire from the inside.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing to me. And you know, the diehards like yourself will say, who are you going to hire then? I don't know. That's not my job.
Right.
But stop hiring guys that have already been in your system. Go hire somebody on the outside to come in that said, here's how they did it here.
Right.
Here's how they did it here. You keep hiring the guys that all they know is Rockies baseball. All they know is what Breidich learned from O'Dowd. Schmidt is older than Breidich, but he learned from Breidich. And it's just you're going to keep bringing these same guys in from the same lineage of management.
This is what they've got going for them is that they've got a solid foundation right now. And construction takes a lot of time.
How? Like you named three players.
Three
pitchers
players.
Are awful.
Nolan Jones, I'm not ready to write off. He's had a horrible start. The starting pitching has not been horrible this year. They have had one blow-up inning outside of it, but then they have not been bad. They went like three straight starts with quality starts. But this is the ebbs and the flows of they are a bad baseball team. Like they're not going to be world beaters.
They're worse
but
than they were last year, Tanner Schwint.
At this point, for sure, you're starting to see these stretches and these streaks of, okay, that's what he's going to be. Here's what that is. And you start to piece it together. The problem is it won't hit all at once. So it'll be a month straight of where the offense is scoring 6-7 runs a game and the pitching staff falls down because there is a lot of youth in there. They're still learning the game. Baseball is just unlike any other sport where basketball, even the greatest out there, you can see it as soon as they get drafted. They're going to be it. That's it. They're performing right off the bat. Football the same way.
But
baseball's
so
not that way.
Using a basketball comparison, the Nuggets, this is what a building team looks. And I'm sorry, but the Nuggets hire Michael Malone, and they win 30-some games. The next year, they win 38 games. The next year, they're right on the cusp. They're one game away from the playoffs. The next year, they're in the playoffs all the time. Now they're world champs. What you're talking about is you're saying there's building blocks there. This team is worse than the 100-loss team from a year ago. So how can you say there's a foundation?
We're like 10% of the way through the season.
They started off way better than this last year.
That's
great.
4-15,
Tanner.
That's great. You can start however you want. It's during those middle months because baseball is such a long damn season. You're going to have stretches like this when you're this young of a team.
Not a stretch. This has been the entire.
It's still a stretch. It is still a stretch. When you have this many young players, and in basketball, I'm sorry, it's easier to rebuild in basketball than it is in baseball. It's easier to rebuild in football than it is in
not.
Baseball. It 100%.
Baseball,
is.
There's no salary
You've
cap.
Only
you got to spend money on
You've
players
only
gotta instantly.
Get one superstar in basketball, and all of a sudden you start to get there. Then more people want to come play there. In baseball, you've got to replace every single position from top to bottom because we've seen it with Mike Trout with the Angels. He's been the best player in baseball for years. They haven't had any team success around it.
I can name 20 superstars in the NBA right now that have yet to win a championship. It's not just get a superstar and you're a perennial playoff team.
We're not ready to even talk about championships with the Rockies. We're talking getting into the playoffs, getting a winning record. We're talking about getting to there. But like Wembanyama
is a superstar,
NBA,
and they were one of the worst teams in the league.
In their first year, right?
Yeah, Golden State, Steph Curry's a superstar, and they're missed out on the playoffs.
Do you think that the future is bright for San Antonio with
Wembanyama? Yeah, but it's going to take 3-4 years.
That's what I'm saying about the Rockies. And it's so much easier to rebuild because you only have 10 guys that get into a basketball game. You've got so many more guys that you have to replace, and if one guy doesn't have it on one particular night, talking about the pitching staff, that ruins it for everybody else. If one specific guy doesn't have it in basketball, you still got four other guys out there on the court. It's harder to rebuild in baseball than it is any other, especially you look at Jackson Holliday, who is the number one.
Baseball's the easiest to rebuild because you don't have a salary cap. You just need the owner that has the cash.
Baseball is the only league that has a minor league. You have a whole nother roster of people who are preparing to get on your big league. So to me, it should be easier in baseball when you've already got a group of up next who are waiting. In the NBA, you are relying strictly on free agency or a draft. In football, you're doing the same thing. In baseball, you have a whole nother system that you should dive into, and that's where the talent should come from. And homegrown talent can win stuff. And the Rockies have been very good at developing players that then blossom and go.
Right.
And so I don't know how much you can look at the minor leagues and go, we're not bringing up talent, as what happens when they get to the big leagues that they can't do it for the Rockies.
But in the first time in the Rockies' history, you've got enough players at all positions coming up at the exact same time that should all be good enough to win at Coors
Field. Wasn't DJ and Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado and who was their closer that year? Like, didn't they have John Gray? I mean, didn't they have a bunch of guys that were young at one point and then they end up saying, See ya.
Because people will always point to the Rockies and say at one point they had Todd Helton at first, DJ LeMahieu at second, Trevor Story at short, and Nolan Arenado at third, mm-hmm. which is 100% true. But you look at where they were at on their stages. That was Trevor's rookie year. That was Todd's last year. DJ LeMahieu and Nolan were your two guys that were consistently superstars at that point. But why do you have a minor league system in the MLB? Because even the best of the best can't come in and perform at the major league level right off the bat. Jackson Holliday got called up. He's batting like 138 or something right now. Like the game is just so much more difficult at that elite level that's why you have to have it. Whoever drafts Caleb Williams this year, like when the Bears draft Caleb Williams this year, their expectations are he's going to come in
and contend to be a Pro Bowler. How that worked out.
Contend to be a Pro Bowler. Now you can miss 100%, but what I'm saying is that there are guys who instantly out of college or that draft pick that will come in and contribute instantly. That's not how that works. And you say it all the time with the minor leagues, it'll be 10-15 years. That's an exaggeration, right? But I get your point of that. It is going to be longer time. That's why I think it's difficult to rebuild. This clock is completely blown. 9:39 the time. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Man, I wish there was a school to educate people on baseball. As soon as I find that,
we would send you there.
I'm going to sign up.
Send the Rockies there.
I'm going to sign Brady and Brian up.
Mr. Schwinn taught us how to do this.
There's not one of those, but the best school in Greeley is Westridge Academy, a community-based K-8 charter school nestled in Western Greeley. Excited to welcome new students for the 2024-2025 school year. It's education, not indoctrination. It's education the way that it should be. I hate you, Brian Gary. Don't delay. Become a warrior today. Spots are available for the 2024-2025 school year. WRAK8.org. Go ahead, finish it.
WRAK8.org.
Got it.
9:42 the time. Let's get the quote-unquote bottom of the hour news and weather center.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
So we do have a bet in place now that the Rockies, I'm saying the Rockies will still finish with a higher win total than they did last year.
Only fitting that the song Life of Illusion is playing as we go in.
And we do know.
How many games did they win last year?
We do know. I'm the one who pays up on the bets around here. So this will happen. But the bet is if they.
Excuse me?
If they.
No way. He does not.
This is very sad.
What? I recall having frosted tips about this time of the year last year when I lost the bracket challenge.
I remember being promised a cow and $300 in cash.
I have bought you enough cheeseburgers that it's a cow.
That does not work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't work
it
that
has.
Way. He wants he wants a pet cow.
Anyhow, if the Rockies come under the win total from last year, you guys are going to buy me a breakfast with mimosas. If they go over, then I will buy you guys a breakfast mm-hmm. with mimosas.
What was their win total last year?
59,
just as I'd predicted.
Yeah, Brian nailed it. Yeah. So what do you think, 58?
I need to amend mine because I had been drinking the Tanner Kool-Aid when I predicted they would win 71.
Yeah.
And I'd like to retract that by 16.
Yeah. Didn't I say they were going to be worse at the beginning of the season?
I don't remember.
I believe you.
I'm just seeing
sounds
red
like
right
something
here.
You'd say.
I'm just seeing red. Anyhow, let's talk about the teams that do matter right
the
now.
The easy sport to win, apparently.
It is. And Bruce hates that when I say it, but basketball is the easiest sport to win.
How many championships did the Nuggets win with Carmelo Anthony? A perennial superstar?
The easiest.
How many first rounds did they get by?
To be contending in.
They were never a contender. They were
really
a contender 1 year.
Anyhow, the Nuggets are taking on the Lakers.
Bury that argument.
And the Colorado Avalanche are taking on the Winnipeg Jets. And I think we can all agree on this, that hockey playoffs, how the seeding works is really stupid.
It's confusing.
Very confusing.
Stupid Canadians.
I still don't get it at all. It was announced who they play, so I know that's what's happening.
That's kind of how I look at it. You can break into it. And at one point, I had it in my brain, and then you just, if you don't, you know, it kind of goes away.
And I feel like the total overall feeling about the Colorado Avalanche right now is, I wouldn't be overly surprised if they went won the Stanley Cup. I wouldn't be overly surprised if they lost in the first round.
I would not be shocked if they lose in the first round.
They've been Jekyll and Hyde, Dan, this year out.
Well, especially the last, what, five or six games, they've just looked off. And Georgie is getting the brunt of that. He's getting a lot of the criticism. I had a guy that covers closely the Avalanche on last week, and Sean Keeler was talking about the team isn't as good as it was like around Darcy Kuemper is this year. It's worse. So when they won the cup, Darcy Kuemper was playing kind of average.
Sure.
Georgie's not there, and maybe this team isn't as good. Yep. As it was 2 years ago.
Well, and I said,
outside of the goalie.
I said something the other day that I know Avs fans would come at me like you do with my Rockies takes, but at a certain point, you have to start looking and say, as great as Cale Makar is offensively, he gets completely lost out there defensively. And he's a defenseman. So is Cale Makar, like, can you win the style of having a mediocre goalie and just bet on the offense all the time? If Cale, and you don't have that enforcer next to him defensively on the other defenseman, can you win like that? Or if you're going to keep Cale Makar long term, because he is one of the most, if not the most talented defenseman offensively ever, do you have to go get a stud goalie at this point?
Well, can you afford it? You can't afford a stud goalie.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm wondering too, budgetarily. Can you do what you need to do to improve it while still keeping who you want to keep?
Yeah.
Decisions are going to have to be made.
And they've never had success in drafting a goalie and working him up through the system.
But let's see what happens in the playoffs before we tear this team down and talk about that. I mean, they just had a rough stretch at the end at the worst time. We've seen teams do that, and then the playoffs get going. And look, when MacKinnon is on, when Makar's on, this team is lethal. Absolutely lethal when they are clicking.
Yeah.
Correct. They are as good or better than anybody in the NHL. It's been a rough week or two. You know, as far as that goes. But when you look at the entire season, this team can win it. They still can win.
Well, that's the beauty of the hockey playoffs, too. It's, you know, if you're in, you've got a legitimate shot. You know, in the NBA, you look at it, and maybe not as much this year, but you typically look at the NBA and go, if you're an eighth or a seventh seed, you're not going to win a title.
Yeah.
That's changed a little bit, obviously, with what the Miami Heat got, you know, all as far as they did last year. Hockey, yeah, they've got a good shot, but there's definitely a cause for concern as we head into this weekend. They got one final game tonight.
Yeah. Do you think that it's important for them to win that game tonight?
I would think so. I think building momentum and feeling good about yourself is important for them. And it's not end-all, be-all, but I would imagine it's pretty important.
I agree with that, as you were talking about it earlier. I'm with you on that. I think it's important to get a W tonight.
I've got Nuggets in four. You've got Nuggets in five.
Five.
Nuggets in three.
Nuggets in three.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. One of them's going to be so bad it counted as
that Adam Silver steps in and goes, no, this we can't embarrass done. LeBron anymore. No, seriously, Nuggets in four.
Nuggets
I
in
really
four.
Believe in the Nuggets in four.
Okay, how about the Avs? Avs against Winnipeg. Mm. What are your predictions on the series?
I'm going to go Avs in six.
I'm with you on that.
I'm going to dive into that more. I'm telling you, my gut reaction thinks the Avs will get eliminated in the first round. That's my gut reaction, but I want to get into this.
I can understand that.
Way more.
I would get one team out of the way so that Brady can start watching the Rockies with me. Brady Hall, host of the Hall Show, 11 to 2 today.
Everybody loves Raymond reruns.
Who do you have on?
Always cooking, bro.
Who do you have on the program today?
We're going to have interim athletic director John Weber on the show from Colorado State.
Very good.
Excited to catch up with him. Kevin Lytle will join me as well. Chris Harris Jr. will be on the show. Former Denver Broncos. His cornerback will be on the show tomorrow.
Okay.
We're just working out schedules right now, but
make
excited.
Sure you tell Kevin happy birthday.
I will. I will tell him that. Please. Now, here's an interesting note. John Weber's Twitter handle has changed to Colorado State Athletic Director, but I've not seen any breaking news. So,
are you going to ask him about that today?
Yeah. I already texted him about it, but he has not responded.
All right.
So I will do the heart emoji, and away we go.
Brady Hall, host of the Hall Show. Brady, thanks so much for your time
today,
my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
9:53 the time. We'll come back and wrap it up with Coach Bruce Dick next. All right, let's wrap up this show. Just spent way too much time trying to defend our Colorado Rockies, Bruce. These guys don't get baseball. I think that's what I'm getting at.
No, you are wrong. I love the Rockies. I just am realistic that it's really bad.
You with me? Do you think they'll still win more than they did last year? They won 59 last year.
Boy, Tanner, they're off to such a terrible start. But on the other hand, remember the Tampa Bay Rays last year got off to this unbelievable start, streak of, I forget, in the teens.
I think it was 19, I believe, yeah.
19-0. I mean, great start. And where did it end up for him?
Right.
You know, can the,
role reversal this time.
It has to be role reversal, but they can't get a big hit or get a big out.
No, not at the moment.
And they're wasting pitching efforts that should be winning efforts out of a staff we questioned a lot coming into this year. I feel the starting pitching has exceeded what we would have expected.
Outside
and the
of
offense has underperformed.
It's been okay.
Can't put it together. I mean, the offense blows up for six runs yesterday, 5-1 inning, and they give up seven.
Not at great times.
They gave themselves a chance to win. Now, and I know you're a critic of Buddy Black, and I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, he sends the guy to second, and he's safe yesterday because he's thinking, we can probably get one hit, but I'm not sure we can string two together.
I feel like I've been fair on Bud. I did like that move. You've got Nolan Jones, who's got plus-plus speed. JT Realmuto is such a good catcher, though. Want to wrap up with just a couple of responses from our Happy Life Gardens poll question today. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for Taylor Swift's new album that's coming out tonight at midnight?
Yeah. 13.
Brian's a 13. Let's get to a couple of responses. Chad didn't even get a number. He just said, meh. I'm a negative 10. Brian here says, proud of you, Tanner. If you can't get excited about a Taylor Swift album, then you are actively seeking less fun in your life. Maybe the same reason I'm a Rockies fan. Troy says, my interest level is negative 8 billion. The only thing that could get me to care is if it included access to her bank accounts on that and as well. Bruce, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for Taylor Swift tonight?
No idea it was even happening.
I didn't either. I did not either.
Maybe it's just me.
Yeah,
maybe I'm the only one who knows.
It is.
No, it's been on the front of every paper.
Coach, what do you got coming up on the show today?
Fossil Ridge Baseball off to a great start. 11-1, 6-0 in the Front Range League, and that is a tough league. And they're coming off a huge win over the Fort Collins Lampkins. And, you know, Coach Mark Wagner. And Easton Miller, one of the top pitchers in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, well, and I love it, too. Are you going to be talking with Easton today?
He will be talking to Easton.
I can't wait to hear that. Of course, like you said, Fossil Ridge beat Fort Collins the other day. And I love, too, because I can kind of just see on the outside the interaction and how teams are excited. Coach Wagner's reposted this. Fossil Ridge Baseball has reposted this. So really cool. Excited to hear this today. Pro Design Countertop Specialist presents our baseball preview. But a big thanks to Gyro Roofing as well.
Yeah, players Jensen Planaski, Easton Miller, and Shane Clough will be on.
Very good. Can't wait for that, Bruce. You are the best at what you do, no matter what you do, Bruce. We love having you here. Can't wait for the show today. We'll be back on a Habit Jeep of Friday. We'll review Dumb Money. We'll have Wheel of Meat presented by D's Meats, and we'll have Jerry Schimmel on, talk some baseball, and then wine at 9 tomorrow morning. Brian, love you, buddy. We love all of you out there in Northern Colorado. We'll talk with you tomorrow morning.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.